Exodus chapter 8. Let's all stand out of reverence as we read a few verses. Okay, we're going to start in chapter 8, verse 1, and go all the way to Revelation chapter 22. Okay? You guys with it?
Yes.
All right. We'd be here longer than the night, that's for sure. And here we go. Exodus chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, on your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and all your servants.'" And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying to Aaron, "Stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Let's stop there. Father, we come before you, and we thank you again for your word. And it is, God, your truth that we desire to just speak to us. So may your word come to life now. Captivate us, Lord. May we have the ability right now to set aside all the cares of this world, all of the things that are heavy upon our heart, that we may just sit at your feet and feed us, Lord, your truth. So God, bless this time now, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we've been going through this study, we're now approaching plagues 2, 3, and 4. We're going to do our best to cover the whole chapter tonight, and of course, we'll let the Lord lead that. If not, no worries, we'll finish it by next Wednesday. But as we've been going through this, please remember with me that God's desire was to set his people free from the oppression and the cruel treatment of the Egyptians. Remember with me that God brought them into this land when there were roughly around 70 of them, and now they've grown all throughout the years, and they've multiplied more and more to the point where the new Pharaoh feared that if the Hebrew people rose up against them, that they would outnumber them. And so all of this cruel treatment came because of a king who desired to hold on to his kingdom longer than maybe he should have. But the reality is that he's bringing upon all of this stuff upon himself, really, because now God stands up and says, enough is enough. God is getting ready to do a work, and God is going to set his people free. And so we've been looking at how God used Moses. And of course, Moses in the beginning was a bit afraid to go to Pharaoh. And now as he's all in, God spoke to him. God brought Aaron along with him. And they've been kind of going back and forth with Pharaoh. But now as we pick up here in our study, the first thing that I want to point out is plague number 2, which is referring to the frogs. It was the Lord that spoke to Moses once again. And what I love about this, and I pray that you would be encouraged by this tonight, is that when God speaks to you and he asks you to do something, he's going to be there to help guide you through it. He's going to give you the ability to accomplish whatever it is that he's asking of you to do. And so all along, even though after the first time that Pharaoh rejected what Moses said, God was right there encouraging him, let's go back. It's time. I already know what's going to happen. Just trust me. And so God has been guiding Moses all throughout this encounter with Pharaoh. But I also want you to notice that though Pharaoh refused to let God's people go, his message never changed. Every time Moses would go before Pharaoh, it was always the same thing. Let my people go. And one of the things that I want us to notice this particular chapter It's the first time that God actually warns Pharaoh. If you refuse, in other words, if you deny my request, there will be consequences. You know, when I was looking at this, I was reminded, like, of my dad, okay? I don't know how you grew up, but there were times when I would get home, and if I knew I was in trouble, like, if I knew that once my dad got home, he was going to deal with me, right? Like, he would just look at me and goes, you know, if you mess up, you know what's going to happen, right? So there was a warning, and I could just picture God saying, listen, I'm giving you an opportunity to obey what I'm asking, but if you refuse, you're gonna have some consequences here. And so the Lord actually revealed to Pharaoh what he would do, especially to him and his people. And this is something, again, that is important for all of us, because if we can take note of what's taking place, as I mentioned before in other studies, and it's worth repeating, beloved, listen carefully. Our sins not only affect us, they affect other people. And this is exactly what's getting ready to go down upon Pharaoh and his people. God told Pharaoh very clearly, I will smite all of your territory with frogs. How many of you like frogs? Okay. Two people. All right. That's cool, I guess. They're a little weird looking. But listen, God says, I'm going to smite all of your territory. In other words, that word smite means to inflict, to strike. Listen, to give a deadly or bothersome pandemic. This is what this word is speaking of. Whether it's a disease or just an uncomfortable condition. And it's not only going to affect you, Pharaoh, but it's going to impact your whole land, all of your people. And so verse 3 tells us the consequence. Frogs will come out of the Nile River and every source of water that you have. They will not only just come out a little bit, but they will completely cover over all of your land. And here's the crazy thing. He says, not only are they just going to come out of the water, but they're going to come into your house. Now, I don't know if you can picture this, but if we see all of the movies and the different places, listen, the Pharaoh didn't have no little shack, right? This was up above everybody else, thick walls, hard to get to, up high, and yet God says, I'm going to bring so many frogs upon you that they're going to be in your home. As a matter of fact, you think you're going to escape and go to your bedroom, maybe all alone in your bed, they're even going to be there. Now, that's kind of gross, right? I don't want to be sleeping with no frogs. He says, not only in your bedroom, but even in your kitchen, in your knitting bowls, your servants' houses, no matter where you go, nobody is going to escape from this. Your whole entire land is going to be filled with so many frogs. That's gross. And so one of the things that we're looking at, again, as we go through these plagues, especially for the Egyptians, they worshiped several different gods. And this one particular god that was called Hequit was the goddess of childbirth and fertility. And what was maybe unique about this one goddess that they worshiped is that she was depicted as a woman with a frog's head. Now, I love our city. And near my place, you know, in one of the roundabouts, they had this dragon made out of license plates. And it wasn't like a scary dragon. It was like, you know, a cute one. If there's a cute dragon, I don't know. But now they replaced it. And they replaced it with this bird, but it's got a female body to it and wings that span about 20 feet long. This is near my house. It's like, Lord, would you get mad if I just run it over? I mean, like, seriously. I mean, when I read this and I'm driving home, I'm like, are we in Egypt? And the reality is, listen, this goddess, of course, was looked at as a divine being. It had power in order to, you know, bring life and you know, allow women to have children. And yet, because of these frogs, they were held sacred and nobody could harm them or kill them. It's kind of like if you go to, you know, India, they won't hurt any of the cows because they think it might be great-grandpa. And sure enough, they held this goddess in high esteem. And yet this plague that God is getting ready to bring upon Pharaoh and his people would really prove who was a god. And sure enough, in verses 5 to 11, Moses and Aaron, listen, what I love about this is they do exactly what God asked them to do. You need to go. You need to go confront Pharaoh. And sure enough, they shared with him the things that God put upon their heart to share. Aaron stretched out his hand over the Nile. And again, here's the power of God. How do we see this? Because in the first plague, what did God do to the Nile? He turned it into blood. And when that happened, there was no life, no fish. You couldn't drink it, couldn't do anything with it. Every single water source turned into blood. And that blood turned in everything that was living dead. But now here God comes, and what was dead, he brings to life. Doesn't that sound familiar? Because that was us. We were dead, and he brings us to life. And so sure enough, as Aaron stretched out his hand, I want you to notice this again, not just with the Nile River, streams, rivers, ponds, wherever there's water, there's going to be some froggies coming out, okay? And so God fulfilled what he said, especially knowing that Pharaoh would harden his heart. And sure enough, frogs came out of every water source and covered the entire land. And so what was Pharaoh's solution to this? Well, he called on his magicians. And one of the things that we see taking place is they did the exact same thing. They used their witchcraft or their enchantments in order for these frogs to appear. But the interesting thing for us to kind of take note of is this. Because they made more frogs, guess what they did? They caused more distress. They caused more misery for their own people. Now, remember I told you if I was Pharaoh, I would have said, hey, fellas, show them who's got more power. Take these frogs away. And yet, they didn't. They just added more to their misery. And not only did they add more, but here's what also is interesting in verse 8. Notice what it says here. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from you, from your houses, that they may remain in the river only. So he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no other one like the Lord our God. And so I want to just kind of stop there for a minute. So as Pharaoh doesn't turn to his musicians, who does he turn to? Moses and Aaron. He says, hey, entreat the Lord for me. In other words, call out to your God and pray. Call out to your God and pray that he will be the one to remove all of these frogs. And again, I pray that you would catch this because this is the first time that Pharaoh is actually seeking God's help. I want you to see he didn't turn to, again, his wise men or the magicians. He acknowledged for the first time who the God of the Hebrew people were. And not only did he acknowledge him, but again, if your God fulfills what I ask, I will let his people go. That was his exchange. And what I love about verse 9, check this out. Moses speaks up. And not only is he willing to pray, Moses tells Pharaoh, I'm going to grant your request, but so that you know the Lord is the one who answers, he says, you select the time when I should pray. I mean, I could just imagine Moses having a little bit of attitude, you know? Hey, I'm going to let you know who God really is. You set the time, and I'm going to pray for you at that time so that you will know my God is the only God. And sure enough, as Moses agrees, Pharaoh sets the time. And notice verse 10. Notice how stubborn Pharaoh is. Now, again, I'm not here to pick on Pharaoh, but after Moses agreed to pray for him and to select the time, he was still willing to suffer another day with these froggies. I mean, I want you to think about that. Have you ever thought about this in Jonah's story? He was stubborn too. 3 days in the belly of a fish. Any takers? That's stubbornness, right? But now Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Now, again, if I was Pharaoh, I would have been like, now, just pray now, get rid of all these little froggies. I want to sleep in my bed in peace without having this nasty looking thing going ribbit, right? I mean, can you imagine that, trying to sleep and having frogs all up in your bed? I don't want to have food that tastes like frog either. But yet, he said tomorrow, which baffles me. But now I want you to see from verse 12 to 15. Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Pharaoh cried out to the Lord concerning the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And so the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and out of the fields. They gathered them together in heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them as the Lord had said. So in this next section, as Moses and Aaron leave, they keep their word. They go and they pray. And as they pray, it says that God granted their prayer. God answered it. The frogs that were all upon the land, God destroyed them. And again, remember that the Egyptians held these frogs sacred. They held them in high esteem. So for God to come in and kill them, that was kind of like, what are you going to do? I'm revealing my power right now. And if your God is who he says he is, then let him show up. But sure enough, as God takes these frogs away out of the houses, out of the courtyards, and not only did he separate them from the people, but also he allowed those that would live to remain near the water. These are your boundaries now. You can't go any further. And as Pharaoh witnessed this, I'm going to call it a miracle, right? I want you to know, as Pharaoh witnessed the hand of God, yet he still hardened his heart and refused to let God's people go. And so this is plague number 2, verses 16 and 19. Plague number 3, beginning in verse 16. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on men and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now, the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on men and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. So now, as we look at this next plague number 3, which is lice that God would bring upon man and beast. And this, again, was a plague with this particular one. No warning came to Pharaoh. God just did it. God says, okay, you want to reject what I'm asking you to do? Now you're going to deal with some lice. And one of the things that we see as Moses and Aaron struck the dust of the land with the rod in it, that the dust actually turned into lice. And again, the whole land was infested with lice on every person and on every animal. Now, living in a third world country, I want you to know it's very common for people to catch lice. My first trip to the Philippines, man, I was blown away by the opportunity to go and work at an orphanage. And there were kids that came to the orphanage that were in pretty bad shape. But when I wasn't working, the kids were just like kind of circling around me. And I would get on my knees and I would tackle them. I would play with them. And they would take my hat and they would put it on their head. And then I'd get my hat back and I'd wear it all day. And I just started noticing, what's going on here? And sure enough, I ended up catching lice. Now, back in the day, I'm just going to be real, I had this cool flat top. And I had to shave it. It was the only way to get rid of it. But man, talk about being uncomfortable. Some of you are probably itchy right now just by me talking about lice. But on every person and on every animal, this whole land was infested. And these things aren't easy to get rid of. Uncomfortable. And so for the Egyptians, which God did God now want to prove that he had power and authority over? Well, it was what they would consider the God over the dust of the earth, which was Geb. Their God, listen, nor did their magicians have any power to stop what God was doing. And again, this is something that I want us to understand, that as each plague gets going, God is going to bring more and more judgment. Why? Because of Pharaoh's refusal to let his people go. And so it's going to get harder and harder. And so neither did their magicians do anything. It says they couldn't even duplicate. They tried and tried and tried, and yet nothing came about. But now, here's what I want us to see. They themselves, these magicians, testified that this is the finger of God. In other words, Pharaoh, God's hand is doing all of this before your eyes. And even though, can you imagine the humiliation they faced, not being able to do these things in front of Pharaoh? And yet, even in that humiliation, they still spoke truth. They testified that this is God's doing. There's nothing you can do about it. So what's my interpretation? Pharaoh, you in trouble. God's hand is written all over this. And you would think that that would cause Pharaoh to wake up, coming from his own people, people that he trusted. And yet, it said that he hardened his heart once again. Now let's pick up in verse 20. And I want to read a few more verses. And the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, another warning, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you, on your servants, on your people, into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And so I want to just kind of pause here for a minute. But notice here comes plague number four. God tells Moses once again, go back to Pharaoh. I want you to go early in the morning. I want you to wake up early in the morning. And I want you to go as he's getting ready to go out to the water. And I believe whether he was going out just to bathe or it was also Pharaoh's way of worshiping the Nile River, whichever one you want to believe, it's up to you. But as they stood there before the Nile River, notice this, same request once again. Message never changes. Let my people go. And again, God warns Pharaoh, if you don't do this, this is what is going to happen. I will send a swarm of flies upon you, on your servants, all of your people, and their homes. Once again, there will be no escape from what I'm doing. So God made this known to Pharaoh. And here's the other thing that I don't want us to miss. God already knew the outcome. God already knew how Pharaoh would respond. Because he says, if you still refuse, then this is what I'm going to do to show you that I am real. I am going to make a distinction between your people and my people. I'm going to separate everything just so that you know how powerful I am. And in this next verse, he says very clearly, in the land of Goshen where God's people were, though all of these flies and all of your people are going to suffer from the swarms of flies, there's not going to be one single fly in the land of Goshen. I'm going to separate my people, and this is what I want us to see. Pharaoh, judgment's coming upon you and your people, but I'm delivering mine. My hand is going out against you, but there's not going to be a single fly in this portion of land where my people are. And God was able to do that. And so all of these flies that came upon Pharaoh and his people, again, some may think they're just regular flies. We just came back from Israel a month ago, I would say. And I kid you not, there was a fly in our hotel room. And this thing was about this big. It was an ugly looking thing. But there's some actual flies that bite. Some people believe these were mosquitoes. Can you imagine if it were so? How irritating and how, again, misery on people. If you had one mosquito bite, can you imagine having them all over your body? No matter where they went, no escape, these flies were on them. And sure enough, when it came to God's people, nothing. And again, as I went through this, for the Egyptians, they had like three different gods that were pertaining to an actual fly or a body or a person that had the head of a fly. But in this particular plague, I want you to notice this. Along with being miserable, not only would they suffer the consequences of Pharaoh's decision, but now the land would be affected. It said that the land became corrupt. They weren't able to go and work. They weren't able to do anything because of the amount of flies that were swarming around. So not only were they not able to work, not able to cook, not able to do certain things, they were getting affected big time. And so, again, their God couldn't stop what the God of the Hebrews was doing. And in verse 25, I want you to notice this. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go, sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then they will not stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. Now I want you to notice this. Okay? So Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. So now, notice this. As Pharaoh calls out to Moses and Aaron once again, this time Pharaoh tries a new tactic. He tried to get Moses and Aaron to compromise regarding what God told them, what God was asking of his people. And it's interesting to me. He says, okay, let's think about this. Okay, you guys can go and sacrifice to your God, but instead of going 3 days away into the wilderness, you could do it here in the land. That was a compromise. And sure enough, I want you to catch this because this is important. Moses didn't even entertain it. You know, how many of you have ever tried to, you know, walk by a salesperson? They'll throw a line at you. Hey, well, wait, you know, listen, this is the last day we're doing this, and, you know, I'm going to cut you a deal. I'm not going to talk to the manager yet, but I'm going to cut you a deal. Trying to get you to stay a little bit longer, get you to compromise whether you can afford it or not. Now, I'm not saying every single salesperson is that way, but most of them are. Sorry if you're a salesperson. But the reality is they were hearing what he said, and I love this because they didn't even entertain it. Moses had enough wisdom not to change a thing that the Lord laid out. This was God's request. I have no business changing it. I have no business going against what God is asking of you to do. I'm not the one to answer that. And so not only did he not entertain it, but he goes on to say, listen, even if I did do something like that, we would be an offense to your people. If we sacrifice the animals that God is asking of us, you would get upset, and the next thing you would do would stone us. We're not even going to go down that route. God said, 3 days' journey, honor it. No hesitation, no fumbling of his words, no stuttering. He said it the way that it was. And I like this because, again, this is a sweet reminder for us. Because I believe too many of the believers today in the body of Christ are compromising and their relationship with the Lord. Little compromises here and there. Oh, it's okay for me just to hang out with, you know, this crew. I'll be fine. I'll go to church on Sunday. I'll go to church on Wednesday. But everything else outside of that, they're being filled with the things of this world. And so in the midst of this conversation, I want you to notice how Pharaoh said, you can sacrifice to your God, but stay in the land. And sure enough, Moses doesn't even entertain it. The next thing we see in verse 28, I will let you go, but don't go 3 days' journey. What was Pharaoh's request now? You can sacrifice, you can go into the wilderness, but don't go so far. Stay as close to Egypt as you can. Again, another offer to compromise the command of God. And here is, again, after he gave that second request, then Pharaoh says, pray for me, intercede for me. Get these flies out of here. Verse 28, I just want to read it and then we're going to complete the chapter. Here we go. It says here, so Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Then Moses said, indeed, I am going out from you, and I will entreat the Lord. I will pray for you, Pharaoh, that the swarms of flies may depart tomorrow from Pharaoh. Notice he didn't give him an option. I'm going to tell you when I'm going to pray now. It has nothing to do with you anymore. I'm going to tell you when I'm going to pray. As a matter of fact, it'll be tomorrow. And he says, I'm going to pray tomorrow for Pharaoh, for his servants, and from his people, but let Pharaoh not deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. He removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his people, or from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. But Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let his people go. And here, as we look at these last few verses, I want us to see Moses leaves. He prays for Pharaoh. He does what he said he would do. And God answers that prayer. But before God would answer that prayer, now Moses is warning Pharaoh. Don't be deceitful. Don't act cruel toward God's people. In other words, you said you would let them go. Keep your word. And in verse 30 to 31, again, God answers the prayer. And in verse 32, as soon as Pharaoh received relief and the swarms of flies were gone, he hardened his heart and he did not let God's people go. And I want you to kind of take note of this. Because as I mentioned earlier, I believe that there are a lot of people within the body of Christ who are compromising. And not only compromising, but I also want you to notice this. What we just read, Pharaoh calling out and asking God to, again, in his crisis, in his time of emergency, be there for me, answer this prayer. And the moment that God answered that prayer, he turned away and hardened his heart. And sometimes if we look at this, that describes a lot of believers who use God as a spare tire. Only in case of emergency. And then when everything gets going back again, they take God out of the equation, they put him back in the trunk, and they only call for him in their time of need. Beloved, I hope and pray that that's not us. Because I believe, again, as we go through the Word of God, we now need to make this personal. We need to, what's going to be our takeaway from tonight's study? What challenge are we going to have from the Word of God? And this is what I want us to be able to see through the passage that we just read in chapter 8. And I believe the first thing that we need to do is thank God for his patience. I want us to turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, so you can read it yourself and see why we need to thank the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 8 and 9. Notice what Peter penned here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All throughout these plagues, not only is God revealing his power, but his long-suffering, his patience, that all would come to the saving knowledge of who he is, giving Pharaoh opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to believe in who he is. That's patience. And can we just be real? Aren't we thankful tonight that God's patience with us? Right? Can we agree that we're not perfect and we don't always do everything right? And aren't we thankful that God has patience and shows forgiveness and mercy and extends his hand to us even when we don't deserve it? We need to thank the Lord that in his patience, that we're not to think that he forgot about people or he's ignoring things. No. Even now, today, as dark as it is, God's showing his patience and that still desiring people who are in darkness to come to the light. Now, I know some of us are saying, well, can he like hurry up the process? Because it's getting pretty dark. It would be nice. But we have to fall back on what we know. God is God, and we're not. And we do need to thank the Lord for his patience. It's crazy when we look at it from the outside and we're reading, how could Pharaoh not see this? How could Pharaoh refuse after seeing all of these different things happening before his eyes? And yet, how is it that we have the whole counsel of God and yet we don't always obey it? There's always compromise sometimes in our own lives. So we need to be careful, and we do need to come before the Lord tonight thanking him for being patient with all of us. The second thing that I think we need to acknowledge tonight, and that is this, don't give in to compromise. I want us to turn to Galatians now, chapter 5. Notice what it says here. Galatians chapter 5, this is the Apostle Paul writing to a group of believers who started off in the faith through the Spirit, and they strayed away and tried to make their faith works, doing things to win God's approval. And in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 7, he says this, you ran well. In other words, you started off good. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. And he goes on to say in verse 9, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What did he mean by that? You started off well. You started off believing in who Jesus was and believing that your faith has been given to you because of God's grace. It was a spiritual gift that God gave. And then he says, now you're turning away from that, going back to the law, going back to rules. For what purpose? When Jesus already paid for it all, you're going backwards instead of forwards. And when he says a little leaven leavens the whole lump, in other words, we know that this is an illustration of what sin will do in your heart. But that's exactly what compromise does. A little compromise here turns into a big one later. If we have a little compromise in our heart, it will then eventually affect our whole heart. You know, hopefully, Mom, if you're watching this, you're going to get a good laugh. But I told you about my mom. When we were growing up, we would go down to that one market that we used to hate because it was one of those markets that you would get public assistance to. And my mom would buy that big old 5-pound block of cheese. And when my siblings and I started seeing a little mold, we're all like, yes, we're going to get rid of that thing. And my mom, man, she was quick. She'd look at it, cut about an inch past it, and you still had this much left. It's like, darn it. Quesadilla for days. But if you leave the mold, you know how quick it spreads. And beloved, when we compromise, when we're not willing to obey God's word the way that it's written in his word, if we settle for other things, listen carefully, that compromise turns into bigger compromises. And that little compromise that we do in the dark when nobody else sees will then turn into something that we don't care if anybody sees because it affects the whole heart. And my challenge to us tonight is, again, don't give in to compromise. Now, I need you to understand, when I'm saying don't give in to compromise, what I'm asking of us tonight is don't ever think that you're in the place of God, that you can determine what God's word is saying. You need to follow along with what it is saying. Learn it. and live it. You can't compromise. You can't change that. Just because our world wants to change it, just because there's laws that saying you can do certain things, no, our final authority comes from the Word. And we need to make sure that we are abiding by God's Word. Because Jesus said it very clearly, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will follow with what I'm asking of you to do. And again, it's not a threat. It's not forcing. Remember the words. It's out of love. When we come to that place of understanding the depth of what God has done for us, how can we not love him back? How can we not want to serve the Lord? How can we not, you know, take our walk serious knowing what's ahead? Because God has given us clearly, just like he did with Pharaoh, we know the end game. We know who wins in the end. And if we already know that, beloved, then can we agree that we should walk in the likeness of Christ today? That we should not, you know, compromise. Hey, Jesus, I'll give you 5 days out of seven. Is that cool? No. Jesus wants 7 days a week, 24/7. That's what he wants. And I'm telling you right now, that's not too much to ask, especially knowing what he's done for us. And so tonight, can we walk away from this agreeing that we need to be thankful for God's patience? Can we tonight agree that we want to commit not to giving in to compromise, no matter how good it may sound? We can't determine. God's word already has printed. God's word has already been given to us and what God requires of us. And what is that found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8? To do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. That is what God is asking of us today. No compromise in that. Do what is right. We all need to love mercy. Listen, the reality is this. If you don't love mercy, remember, whatever mercy you give to other people will be the exact same mercy God pours out on you. So we should be giving a little bit more mercy and a little bit more grace to people. Would you agree? And then he says to walk humbly before your God. Beloved, simplest way I could explain that, just remember, we're not God. Have reverence. Have respect. Have a love for him because he deserves it. Have love for him because, again, he is the creator of all things. He has an amazing plan, and that is to be with all of us for all eternity. And I think that's a pretty good plan. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. Amen. Worship team, come forward. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your word tonight. And I do pray, God, that we would see and take heed. Lord, the scriptures are really clear in that as we walk in obedience, Lord, you're the one that blesses people. And it's not always material things. The blessings that we receive is knowing you more. That our heart would be filled with more of you, Jesus. And tonight we witness Pharaoh hardening his heart. But I pray, God, I pray that we tonight would not harden our heart toward you. That we would see your hand moving in powerful ways, even in the darkness. That we would see your hand move in the midst of our crisis. And that as we come to know the truth of who you are, your promise is you will never leave us nor forsake us. You will always be with us. And you will always love us. So God, help us to not just believe, but to hold on to it, to embrace it. That would be the core that helps us through all of our madness and all of the darkness that surrounds us. God, it is you alone who delivers and who saves. So may our heart be yours tonight. May we always, always, Lord, look to you. And once again, just want to say thank you, Lord, for your patience. Thank you for your love. And thank you for being a good God. We love you, and we give you this night now, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.